Affirm affection. Be direct. Be caring. The McConaughey family boasts a colorful history of outlaws, including cattle thieves, gamblers, and a bodyguard for Al Capone. Their lineage traces from Ireland to Liverpool, New Orleans, and West Virginia. Matthew's father, Jim, born in Louisiana, moved the family to Texas, working in the oil industry to strike it rich. His mother, Katie, hailing from Altoona, Pennsylvania, preferred to claim Trenton, New Jersey, quipping, "Who'd want to be from a place called Altoona?" Matthew's parents had unconventional beliefs and frequent arguments, yet love always prevailed. In 1974, after a long work day, Katie warmed Jim's dinner in the oven. When Jim asked for more potatoes, Katie quipped, "So you want more potatoes, big guy?" Ignoring her at first, Jim soon found himself confronting her as she kept piling mashed potatoes onto his plate. Frustrated, he flipped the table and approached her, saying, "You just can't leave it alone, can you, Katie?" But before he could get close, she swung her phone, breaking his nose, then grabbed a knife, threatening to cut him wide open. In retaliation, Jim grabbed a ketchup bottle, splashing her with it and exclaiming, "Touché!" They danced around the kitchen until Katie, now covered in ketchup, dropped the knife, and Jim let go of the bottle. They hugged passionately and made love on the floor. In the end, Matthew's parents divorced twice, then remarried three times, with his dad breaking his mom's middle finger four times as their way of loving each other. Matthew learned to never hate and never give up. Logic breaks law. In seventh grade, Matthew contemplated entering a poetry contest, but instead considered submitting a poem by Anne Ashford, as suggested by his mom. She believed that once someone truly understands a poem, it becomes theirs. Matthew figured that even if they discovered he didn't write it, losing the award wouldn't be a big deal. Ultimately, he won using Ashford's poem, a reflection of his unconventional thinking, which Matthew called outlaw logic, influenced by Katie McConaughey's tough upbringing. This unique perspective prepared him for storytelling as an actor. Matthew and his brothers were raised with a rebellious mindset, intensified by their father's belief that each son needed a defining moment to prove himself. When Mike, the oldest, turned 22 and became his father's top salesman, their dad proposed a risky scheme called rolling pipe, involving sneaking into a competitor's yard to steal pipes, targeting Don Knowles, one of Mike's biggest clients. Mike resisted, but Jim, his brother, was determined. Standing 6'4" and 265 pounds, Jim challenged Mike, who was 5'10" and 180 pounds. After a physical altercation sparked by their father's punch, Mike grabbed a wooden plank and swung it at Jim. Despite being dazed, Jim retaliated. The fight escalated until Mike, blinding Jim with dirt, finally stood his ground and struck their father. In that moment, Jim embraced Mike, and they emerged as equals, forever changed by the confrontation. Find peace in solitude. In 1988, Matthew was living his best life as a high school senior, voted the most handsome guy in his class with two girlfriends. Each morning, he'd drive his pickup truck to school, entertaining everyone with a megaphone, playfully commenting on classmates' appearances. After graduation, seeking more excitement, he joined the Rotary Club and signed up for a year in Australia as an exchange student. However, things felt off from the start. Matthew arrived in Sydney only to be met by the cold Dooley family, Norval, Marjorie, and their son, Michael. As Norval drove away from the airport, Matthew's expectations plummeted. They weren't even living in Sydney, but rather in Tookley, a place he'd never heard of. The further they traveled, the more isolated he felt, especially as they passed signs for Warnervale, population 305. At the Dooley home, Matthew's loneliness deepened. Determined to honor his Rotary Club commitment, he faced the year's challenges head-on, experimenting with vegetarianism, abstinence, and even contemplating monkhood to support Nelson Mandela. Though it was a tough year filled with isolation, Matthew emerged stronger, discovering who he was beyond popularity and relationships. This journey, despite its difficulties, turned out to be a pivotal experience that shaped the man he would become. Efficient career changes. Matthew returned from Australia with plans to attend Southern Methodist University in Dallas. However, his dad kept questioning his decision, urging him to consider the University of Texas at Austin instead. Matthew had applied to UT, but was leaning towards Dallas due to its opportunities for his goal of becoming a lawyer. His dad and brother Pat emphasized UT's affordability, given their family's financial challenges from the declining oil business. Pat described Austin as a diverse city where anyone could feel at home, which influenced Matthew to make the move. After 2 years, doubts about his legal career began to surface as he realized the extensive education and training required would delay his career's start. His friend Rob suggested he consider film school. Although initially apprehensive, the idea stuck with Matthew. He knew he had to share this news with his dad, planning the call for 7:30 p.m. when his dad would be relaxing after dinner. Nervously, he called at 7:36 p.m. His dad greeted him warmly, and after a deep breath, Matthew explained his desire to pursue film school instead of law. After a tense pause, his dad's gentle voice came through, not filled with anger but curiosity, wanting to ensure this was what Matthew truly wanted. Matthew was certain. "Well, don't do it halfway," his dad advised. It was the ideal response, a clear signal for Matthew to pursue his dream. Initial pause. When Matthew McConaughey started film school at UT Austin, he quickly realized that success required more than just good grades. Ambition was key. Despite being inconsistent with class attendance, he joined a local talent agency and landed small roles. A pivotal moment came during his visits to the Hyatt Hotel, where his friend Sam worked at the bar. One night, Sam introduced him to Don Phillips, a producer in town for a movie. They hit it off over drinks, and Don offered Matthew a role in his upcoming film, asking him to pick up the script the next morning. In the movie Dazed and Confused, Richard Linklater originally wrote a minor part for a character named Wooderson, intended to appear in just 3 scenes. However, upon seeing McConaughey on set with his 1970s mustache and Ted Nugent t-shirt, Linklater saw the character come to life and expanded the role. This initiated a creative partnership between them, which McConaughey described as verbal ping pong. While filming, McConaughey faced a personal tragedy. His father unexpectedly passed away from a heart attack. In a strange twist of fate, he had predicted this moment, saying, "When I go, I'm gonna be making love to your mother." Tragically, that's how it happened, just as he had foretold. Renown and recognition. Dazed and Confused helped Matthew McConaughey break into Hollywood. But it was A Time to Kill that made him a star. Directed by Joel Schumacher and based on a John Grisham novel, the film initially considered McConaughey for the role of a Ku Klux Klan leader. However, he was determined to play the lead role of lawyer Jake Briggins and came well prepared, having read the book beforehand. Although Schumacher appreciated McConaughey's confidence, the studio had already chosen Woody Harrelson for the lead. This changed when two individuals committed a murder, claiming inspiration from Harrelson's Natural-Born Killers. Director Schumacher decided to give McConaughey a chance, shooting a test scene for the crucial final courtroom moment. Despite being nervous, Matthew was determined to impress. When Schumacher urged him to improvise, he encouraged Matthew to envision himself as the character addressing the jurors. This proved to be a brilliant move, allowing McConaughey to pour his heart into the scene. After feeling drained yet fulfilled, he received a call 2 weeks later with the offer for the role. Matthew's life transformed after the film premiered. Suddenly, he could no longer walk to his favorite sandwich shop without being recognized. Almost everyone on the street stared at him, except for a blind man and a few babies. From that moment on, he was officially a celebrity. Embark on a journey. Before the premiere of A Time to Kill, Matthew McConaughey struggled to find scripts he liked. However, fame came with its challenges, distorting his reality. To stay grounded, he visited the Monastery of Christ in the Desert in New Mexico, a place recommended for adjusting your perspective. The journey was long, 13 and a half miles to the monastery's door, where Brother Andre welcomed him. But it was Brother Christian who truly understood his struggles. Matthew shared his feelings of being overwhelmed by fame, disconnected from his past, and uncertain about his future, pouring out his heart in tears. Expecting judgment, he was surprised when Brother Christian listened for over 3 hours and simply replied, "Me too." This encounter provided Matthew with a crucial insight. Sometimes, understanding and knowing we're not alone is all we need to stay grounded. Though it took time for him to focus on what truly mattered, he found solace in mobility. He bought a 28-foot trailer and spent 3 years traveling from Canada to Guatemala with his dog, Ms. Hud. He adopted spontaneity, hitting the road for concerts or jobs, whether in New York for Roger Clemens' game or working on a Spielberg movie in Rhode Island. He often found himself in a trailer park in western Montana, where he could connect with locals, sip tequila, and share stories, keeping him connected to reality and his roots. Dragon Slayer. In the early 2000s, Matthew McConaughey ventured into a romantic comedy with The Wedding Planner, marking a successful shift from underperforming films like EdTV and Contact. Residing at the iconic Chateau Marmont, he accumulated a $120,000 bill while riding a Triumph Thunderbird motorcycle. Amid wild romances, he questioned the meaning of life, viewing it as an existential challenge rather than a crisis. This led him to an unexpected role in Reign of Fire as Denton Van Zandt, a fierce dragon slayer. Adopting the character, he shaved his head, which allowed him to use a hair serum called Regenix, which purported to work better on a bald scalp. To prepare, Matthew spent 2 months alone on his brother's West Texas ranch, following a rigorous 4-step routine. He began each day with a double shot of tequila to toughen up, ran 5 miles barefoot through the desert to build calluses, faced his fear of heights by standing on the barn's edge, and practiced sneaking up on sleeping cows to simulate confronting a dragon. However, by the sixth day, tequila made him gag, barefoot running resulted in painful blisters, and he struggled with the barn roof. An attempt to handle cows led to a concussion on day 9. Despite the grueling 60-day training and filming in icy Ireland, Matthew emerged spiritually stronger, shedding vanity and gaining greater control over his life. Ready to move forward, he accepted this transformation, quest for the dream. In 1994, after gaining fame from A Time to Kill, Matthew McConaughey experienced 3 significant dreams that altered his life. The first, a nightmare, had him floating in the Amazon River surrounded by dangerous animals and watched over by indigenous Africans. This brief 11-second dream propelled him to search for the Amazon River on a map, leading him to embark on a spontaneous journey to Peru. Trusting his instincts, he trekked through the Andes, explored Machu Picchu with John Mellencamp on his Walkman, and eventually settled in Iquitos, the Peruvian capital of the Amazon. However, feeling lost in his tent, he began questioning his identity. He methodically removed his symbolic items, his Texas flag amulet, a Celtic knot pendant, and 2 rings from his parents. In a moment of vulnerability, he felt compelled to strike himself, leading to a fit of sweating and vomiting. The next morning, rejuvenated, he took a walk and encountered a stunning sight, a massive swarm of butterflies floating above the ground. Mesmerized, he heard a voice in his head say, "All I want is what I can see. All I can see is in front of me." For the first time, he felt relaxed, pausing to give thanks while looking at the sky. When he looked back down, he saw the Amazon River, and later, floating in it, he spotted what looked like a mermaid's tail swimming downstream. Accept the challenge. In 1999, Matthew experienced his second wet dream, 5 years after the first, while working on Rain of Fire in Ireland. This dream replayed his earlier one. Floating in the Amazon amidst snakes, crocodiles, and indigenous Africans. Lasting just 11 seconds, it sparked a strong desire in Matthew to explore Africa, a continent he barely knew. While studying an atlas, he listened to the music of Ali Farka Touré and spotted Niafunke, Mali, as his next destination. Traveling to Bamako, the capital, Matthew met local guide Issa. They journeyed up the Niger River to Niafunke, where they visited the renowned musician Ali Farka, enjoying lunch and his songs. As they parted, Issa mentioned the Dogon people, known for their ancient stargazing wisdom along the Bandiagara escarpment, suggesting Matthew visit them. He agreed. During his stay, Matthew adopted the name David, posing as a writer and boxer. News quickly spread about a strong white man in Bandiagara, leading to a challenge from Michelle, the local wrestling champion. Despite initial reservations, Matthew accepted, and a crowd gathered around a dirt pit, with the village chief as referee. After two grueling rounds of wrestling, Matthew executed a Boston crab but ultimately faced a scissor grip from Michelle. Exhausted, they both fought until the chief declared a draw, raising their arms in victory. The chief noted that Matthew had already won by accepting the challenge, and the crowd cheered for Michelle, chanting, "Dota, Dota." Role transformation. 5 years later, in 2005, Matthew starred in several successful romantic comedies. While he appreciated these films, they left him creatively unfulfilled. Just then, the third dream returned. Matthew, at 88, sat on a porch surrounded by 22 women and 88 children, all his own. This dream ignited his long-held desire to become a father. Now in his mid-30s, he resolved to let life unfold naturally rather than chase the perfect woman. It was at the Hyde Club on Sunset Boulevard that he spotted Camilla, feeling an instant connection as he offered to make her a perfect margarita. 15 years later, she remained the only woman he wanted to wake up beside. With Camilla's support, Matthew chose to reshape his career, telling his agent he was done with romantic comedies and wanted no more scripts. It was a risky move. Hollywood often forgets those who turn down too many offers. Turning down over $14 million in romantic comedy roles, he found himself out of work for 2 years, but became a father twice during that time. Soon, Hollywood began to notice him again with roles in The Lincoln Lawyer, Killer Joe, and Bernie, thanks to his friend Richard Linklater. Steven Soderbergh cast him in Magic Mike. This resurgence was dubbed the McConaissance, a term Matthew himself coined in an MTV interview, Untamed Necessities. Matthew McConaughey was determined to play Ron Woodruff in Dallas Buyers Club, a real-life figure who took charge of HIV medication distribution. Initially doubted for the role due to his athletic build, McConaughey committed to a rigorous transformation plan starting in January 2012, under director Jean-Marc Vallée. Over 5 months, he shed 2.5 pounds weekly through a strict diet of 3 egg whites for breakfast, 5 ounces of fish, and 1 cup of steamed vegetables for lunch and dinner, with unrestricted wine. By October 2012, he reached 157 pounds, preparing for his portrayal of Woodruff. Simultaneously, McConaughey filmed scenes for Martin Scorsese's The Wolf of Wall Street, where he played Mark Hanna, improvising with Leonardo DiCaprio in what he called a lunatic to the marvelous musical Riff Raff. To dive deeper into Woodroof's character, McConaughey engaged with Woodroof's family, gaining insights from personal conversations, access to Woodroof's diary, and 10 hours of voice recordings, enriching his understanding of Ron's life. McConaughey's career soared with his role in True Detective, portraying Rustin Cole, a character he loved. His performance earned accolades, and working alongside close friend Woody Harrelson enhanced the experience. McConaughey emphasizes deeply understanding his characters and telling vital stories, accepting life's uncertainties, and seizing opportunities. His journey has been about enjoying the ride, and now it's your chance to maximize yours. Key points. 1. Learn from challenges to discover your true self and grow stronger. 2. Follow your passion, even if it means changing course from expectations. 3. Turn failures into stepping stones for personal growth and success. 4. Stay true to yourself and your values in your career journey. 5. Accept life's uncertainties as opportunities for personal evolution.